Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
A respectful king.
Go to bed.
So we were totally moved by Gigi Hadid's tweet to Jake Paul, that fucking ghoul YouTube star.
He is more ghoulish looking by the day.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen someone with such outsider energy.
He has total, like,
he's
molting,
a full outsider.
Shapeshifter.
When he touches things, he just leaves, like, yeah, a film on them.
Logan Paul, his brother, blocked me on Twitter.
His brother, Logan, is hot.
The older one?
Which one was married to Tana?
No. So, Gigi was responding to him.
Okay, yeah. He's the ugly one.
Tana's
ex-husband. Tana is a queen. She's better than whichever Paul brother.
Logan Paul is kind of hot.
Logan Paul's hot. He's the one that went to Japan and like laughed at...
filmed a corpse.
Okay, yeah. He's
and
hot.
I tweeted, remember when Logan Paul filmed a corpse and he blocked me?
Well, that's his right.
But
I'm like, let Logan disrespect people.
Suicide Forest.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's hot. Period.
Yeah.
Anyways,
so Gigi tweeted, Jake Paul tweeted about like getting dissed by Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Gigi and Zayn are now fully back together.
Yeah. That relationship really perplexes me, but actually not that much because I have my theories.
Okay, let's hear them in a second. But then Gigi tweeted at Jake Paul. Do you want to read it?
You read it.
LOL. Because he... LOL, because he doesn't care to hang with you and your embarrassing crew of YouTube groupies. Home alone with his best friends like a respectful king. Because he has me, sweetie. Unbothered by your irrelevant, ugly ass. Go to bed. I love... It's such a drunk tweet. It was sent at 4:43 in the morning.
This was?
Yeah.
Oh, well, she, I think, was in Milan for Fashion Week. So she's probably, it's like 8 a.m. Yeah. Gigi's had her coffee. She's starving because it's middle of Fashion Week and you're just jet setting. You're tired, hungry, and hangry. Yeah. And this is where that came from. I was like, does she even speak like this? Like, it sounds like it's not even in her voice.
Home alone with his best friends like a respectful king because he has me, sweetie.
The respectful king is what absolutely murdered me about this tweet.
I liked unbothered by your irrelevant ugly ass.
Respectful king was a new, I've never heard of such an audacious.
It was wild.
It was wild.
What's your theory?
My theory is that Zayn was battling some sort of addiction and his people, his team, if you will, needed to hire someone to be his girlfriend to like be essentially like a drug beard. And so that's where Gigi and him got together. And maybe their relationship did bloom and became real, or maybe like the contract got renegotiated. But I think that it was a setup out of a PR setup for both of them.
Something's up with him.
Because it made her seem edgier.
Yeah.
And made him seem more normal, that like a hot, beautiful
model,
supermodel wants to date him.
I see that. I mean, he was going through something, clearly.
There was a moment when around the time he was leaving One Direction, he missed a lot of concerts and then he was spotted and he looked ill. Then that people were like, everyone was like, he has the flu. But I was like, honey,
no,
the flu doesn't look like that.
It could be mental illness.
Yeah.
But.
Which, like, God bless.
But it felt a little like drug excuse. It's like when Lindsay Lohan used to say, I was exhausted.
Yeah. Lindsay has a new movie in the works.
Oh,
the Federation. The Federation strikes again.
A new praise to the Federation. Thank you to
the Federation.
The Federation
negotiated a deal. You gotta it takes so much water and like lubing up your throat. Okay, it truly is hard for me too.
Yeah.
Remember when I had Corona Light and I was really struggling with my Federation vocals?
Well, the Federation will be the only place that doesn't get Corona.
The Federation requires everyone entering to be quarantined for a period of 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Even outsiders. That's why you're incentivized never to leave the Federation.
It's very Mask of the Red Death.
Yeah.
You're fortified in like a castle.
Mm-hmm.
But the Federation has provided us with bounty. Because Lindsay Lohan is starring in a horror movie, a supernatural crime thriller with Mickey Rourke.
Welcome back to the stage, Mickey Rourke.
And her name in the movie? Mary Brannigan.
Mary Brannigan.
And she plays a hard-nosed detective who teams up with
She teams up with Mickey because she's like a brilliant hostage negotiator.
Yeah, she's a hard-nosed hostage negotiator, and someone is planning to murder 5 people in a house, and she has to go like thwart it.
So who do you call in times of crisis?
Lindsay
Mary
Lohan.
Brannigan.
Mary
Brannigan.
Oh my god, I hope she has like an Irish accent.
I need her to be like a ruddy-nosed Irish drunk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I want her to pull like an Emily Blunt in that like Girl on the Train, like some DT leaving Las Vegas style drunk like recovery acting.
Yeah.
I hope and pray this is her chance to really bring that to life.
I want this to be her bone collector moment with Angelina and Denzel. And I love like the protege and Mickey Rourke, like the hard, you know, giving her some advice, but she's teaching him things.
Yeah.
But I want Mary Brannigan.
Mary Brannigan.
Mary Brannigan. Mary Brannigan. She pulls up to the hostage house and she gets on her little loudspeaker and she's like,
this is Mary Brannigan calling. I am here to negotiate.
Do you think what's going to be amazing about this role is that she will literally just look like herself playing Mary Brannigan, much like when she was Patricia
Sherman. Yeah.
From just that werewolf movie.
Wearing
just
like
fully her. No,
Jeremy Scott.
Yeah. For Adidas from like 2010.
Yeah. She's wearing like Moschino and like.
She's wearing like a blazer.
Yeah.
And like a Balmain heel. Mm-hmm.
Is that how you say it? Moschino?
I don't know. I think so. Moschino.
She's wearing like Yeah, but she's the head of the European Federation. But she is totally going to have like an accent. And it's being, I think it's being distributed. Distributed, I said. I'm like in
you
Mary
are
Brandy.
Fully in the Federation.
I am in the Federation. Oh my God.
Mary Brandy. Wait, I can't do good Mary Brandy.
Yes,
I just,
you can.
No, I feel like that turns
Mary
into
Brannigan. Do
Mary
it.
Brannigan.
I love your Irish accent. Mary Brannigan.
Mary.
Say it.
That's not Irish. No, yes.
Fully channel Mary Brannigan and describe a story of going to see the Blarney Stone.
I picked up my vein and I went to the Blarney Stone. That was kind of got there. Irish acting is really hard for me.
I can. It's like.
I once auditioned for a play in Oklahoma City that required an Irish accent, and like I went to a dialect coach ahead of time and like tried to get it down. Then in the audition, fully transitioned out of an Irish accent into like a Jamaican patois.
That's what it sounds like.
By the end, it was like in full, like down by the beach. It was really bad. It really got bad. And I just had to go with it because I was like, not going to give up and start just speaking in like an American accent.
Like white
so
Oklahoma
I just
girl.
Kept going with it. And then by the end of it, I was like, I'm sorry. I gotta go. It was bad. It just went there. I couldn't control
I love like a white Oklahoma girl like
that got
hair.
Eventually into like a Jamaican patois accent. It was it just went there. It was beyond me. Mary like, Brannigan.
It's like,
oh, Mary.
It's like.
It's bad. It all ends up in a place.
I'm getting a diamond. Mary Brannigan's coming. We're gonna go down to the farmhouse. The farmhouse.
That's kind of
the farm.
The farm.
Yeah, it's like the farm. The farm.
That's Midwestern. Mary Brannigan.
Mary Brannigan.
I picked up my minivan and I went to go see the Blarney Stone.
My name is Mary Brannigan. I am from County Cork, and I am a hostage negotiator. Through the Federation, of the Irish
as a
Federation.
Hostage negotiator, I know what it's like to get people.
I operate out of Stonehenge. My base of operations is Stonehenge. And the Celtic fires of old, of the fires of Samhain.
Mary Brannigan. I build a fire and I throw some dust into it.
And
then
I
see what comes out, and then I know what to negotiate for. This is literally like Rumpelstiltskin cosplay.
It's like a supernatural. Why is she only able
she
to
loves
do Euro?
A supernatural Euro
she's only able
movie.
To do Euro supernatural like Politico like thrillers.
Where is it distributed in
like Berlin?
We need to. Oh my God! If
we're,
we reach,
I mean,
maybe we can reach. $10,000 a month pledge on Patreon.
Didn't
and
we
then
decide that we're going to podcast from
The line at Berghain. But we also on that trip to Berlin need to go to the opening night premiere of
Folk
Mary Brannigan or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, we'll be in Berlin.
Yeah.
Mary Brannigan, I am stationed out of the Stonehenge basin of the County Cork in all the stretch of County Donegal.
I run to the edge of the cliffs of Moher, fling myself off of them.
With the Owls of Gaul. That's Scottish.
Oh my God, I love the Owls of Gaul.
I remember Rob Delaney always used to tweet about the Owls
His
of Gaul.
The Owls of Gaul tweets were epic. I saw that.
You did?
Yeah, I smoked a fat one and then went to go see the Owls of Gaul. No, it made no sense.
Mary Brannigan. She like runs like she's a,
oh you she's Braveheart.
You're Scottish. By
Scottish
day
is way better for me.
By day she's a hostage negotiator. By night she's a no nonsense like innkeeper at an Irish inn.
Take your scones
and get out of here. Come back when you've got some good mead.
I'm whipping up a batch of good mead for
I'm whipping up a bag of corn hash and spinach. And
pour me a Guinness.
Pour me a Guinness in a cup. Get out of here.
Get out. She pushes the old drunkard Irishman out with a broom.
Get out of here.
Get out. You won't be spending the night again.
As I've learned with the hostage negotiation, you can't take any mercy. Oh, Mary Brannigan.
Oh, Mary Brannigan.
Her name is literally...
Mary
Brannigan.
That is Brannigan.
Almost as unbelievable as when Blake Lively was named Nancy in The Shallows. By the way, didn't see the rhythm section, and it made, like...
It made $3.
It made, like, $6 million.
I love, like... I bet their back end... Well, they don't get it because it didn't earn out like its own budget.
I don't even think it was in theaters for a second weekend.
No, it came out in theaters for 24 hours.
Damn.
I love Carrie O'Donnell wrong again
about Blake.
About Blake. And Blake's wig.
Blake's.
It was not meant to be.
We're going to watch it.
We will. I mean, we'll get it like on demand.
Yeah.
I'm ready to like have a movie night and watch the rhythm section because I do think it would actually be really enjoyable as like an at-home viewing experience. But like a commitment to the theater and like paying $17.
I will not.
No. I'm not going to ruin my Arclight love for that.
But you'll go see Mary Brannigan.
Mary Brannigan on the other hand.
I like Mary Brannigan.
Oh, Mary Brannigan. That's what everyone says.
You're like in the Wicker Man.
I'm in another universe. Mary Brannigan threw me over the goddamn edge.
She did.
I can't take it. I can't take a Mary. You can't bring Mary Brannigan into this world.
Yes, you can.
Of my, like... being?
I need it right now more than ever.
Oh, Mary Brannigan.
She has an apron on.
Yeah, she's a lovable... Like, I hope that she wears, like, a fat suit and, like, old woman's costume. And I hope that Mary Brannigan is actually 65 to 78 years old.
But she's... It's... Like, Mickey Rourke, I don't think, can do an accent.
I don't know how well Mickey Rourke is on the day-to-day, but I would venture to say... He needs a wellness check based just on this movie.
He was
alone.
Really good in The Wrestler.
He was great. But I think that maybe The Wrestler wasn't that big of a departure from just like his day-to-day vibe.
Lindsay
I do
like,
love his love of Pomeranians and Chihuahuas.
Does he post about him?
Well, he had a Chihuahua that was like his best friend that he would bring to like interviews and stuff. And then that Chihuahua passed away. And he wears, I think, the ashes or like a little nameplate necklace that says Loki because that was his Chihuahua's name. And he loves his dogs. And so for that, Mickey is a kindred spirit because
he's a king.
He's a king. He's a respectful king. Mickey Rourke.
Ricky Mork. Ricky Mork.
Ricky Mork. My respectful king, Ricky Mork. Oh, Mary Brannigan, you are out of control.
Oh, Mary Brannigan.
And
Ricky Mork coming down to the inn. He's coming all the way from County Donegal.
Ricky Mork. I'm crying.
Please move on.
Okay, yeah. I don't think this Mary Brannigan stuff is literally funny to anyone but us. And it's venturing into territory where there's going to be some angry reviewer that's like, all they do is laugh.
They talked about Mary Brannigan.
Oh, Mary Brannigan.
Oh, Mary Brannigan, you are a real wily girl.
If you haven't turned off this episode by now,
welcome back.
Welcome. Well, we're going to, okay. So,
okay, we're getting it together. We're not going to talk about Mary Brannigan anymore.
By the way, I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
And this is
a sexy, unique podcast.
Tough Sicilian bitches. The reunion.
The reunion.
We only have
part one of two.
I know. It's almost coming down. I'm like sad.
I'm really sad.
So the reunion starts out. They're filming at the Borgata in Atlantic City, like in the middle of the casino.
I love the budget reunions from yesteryear.
I know.
Because they rented out like a hotel. Like, they rented out a conference room at the Borgata.
No, I think it's in one of their lobbies that they draped off and they just closed the hotel down.
Wow.
Because there's slot machines, or maybe not.
I think it's probably in a conference room.
Yeah. Because there's like fake slot machines in the background.
They're probably real. They probably just have slot machines in every conference room because it's a way to just get people to like spend money. But none of the household, these women haven't been under the same roof for 1 year.
More than a year.
Yeah. Which was a shock to me. And then, well, I think Caroline and Teresa and Jacqueline have, but maybe not with Danielle.
Caroline's lost 25 pounds.
Portion control.
Portion control.
Andy, I'll tell you. Portion control. Danielle looks
great.
Danielle has some clip-in extensions. She's wearing
a white tank, wife beater.
A wife beater and then a sparkly mini skirt. She's
like a leather mini skirt.
Age inappropriate.
For sure.
But like classic Danielle.
She's also in a...
Legs for days.
In a same-sex relationship.
She's fully a lesbian.
With lesbian superstar Lori Michaels, who wrote and penned and sang, duetted with her on her song Real Close, which is...
Wow.
Have you heard that song?
No, actually.
Okay, we'll do it later.
Teresa is looking stressed and crazy-eyed pretty much the entire time. I think she's in the thick of some real horrible family shit.
Jacqueline looks exactly the same.
Jacqueline is exactly the same and somehow more annoying than ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's really annoying.
She tests my patience and actually took me over the edge of patience.
She Mary Brannigan'd you.
She fully Mary Brannigan'd me.
Oh, Mary Brannigan.
So we start out...
So it's wild that there are only four women at this reunion.
Dean is gone.
You never see that anymore.
Kim G will be making an appearance.
The shot of Kim G coming out looking like a Barbie doll.
Hi, Danielle.
Hi, Danielle.
Hi, Danielle. So Andy has the ladies. It's Caroline, Danielle on one couch, Teresa and Jacqueline on the other. And Andy's, of course, in the middle.
And Teresa, he starts out by asking them, because I guess this show came before, predates Jersey Shore.
Yeah, so Jersey Shore, this was 2010, and Jersey Shore was in its... I mean, I remember watching... like gathering with a bunch of people in college to watch Jersey Shore every week.
The minute that Jersey Shore I saw a preview for, I was like, I will love this show.
Yeah.
And then immediately was watching it from the jump, was like a full Shore head.
Yeah. So Andy says former Governor Chris Christie said that Jersey Shore was like a blight on the state of New Jersey and like it's not representative of who Jerseyans are.
Yeah.
Which I was like, shut
okay.
up. And Andy begins by asking the ladies if they agree with that.
And Teresa says that she doesn't like Jersey Shore because one of the girls had sex right after meeting someone.
Yeah, and she's like, I mean, she's like...
I'm an old-fashioned...
I think we're all old-fashioned here. And she goes, well, I take it back. She goes, someone here would do that. She goes, I bet you related to that a lot, Danielle.
You can relate to that, can't you?
Danielle's silent.
And then Teresa goes, you had sex with Steve in my Shore house in front of the kids. And I wrote, who is Steve?
Because
I
her forgot. Sex tape partner.
That's the sex tape partner.
That's okay. Her season one.
Then I remembered I blacked Steve out even from our viewing this season because he is so
heinous
to me. Like, yeah. I can't.
He's a pig.
There's no room in my brain or psyche or aura for Steve to be. So
he's
I just like exited him.
He's not a pig. He's a boar.
He's a wild boar.
Yeah.
Danielle in front of the kids, and then Danielle goes, you really are insane, aren't you?
You really are insane, aren't you, Teresa?
And Teresa goes, you're a pig. Look at you. You're disgusting and desperate. The way that they're speaking to her is out of control.
Oh, they call her a whore. Like, they go into full, like, it's the woman's fault.
This is
so
the
much
most slut shamey. Like,
it's unbelievable.
And
I
kind
of felt bad for Danielle.
I felt bad for her. Later, I mean, we find out she brings a lot of it on herself.
Yeah.
But, like, the way that they refer to her is so
cruel.
Cruel.
And just so, like, not. Like, what women should be doing to other women.
And also, it's just, like, this is exactly what Danielle hopes will happen.
Yeah.
Is like, she wants, like, total chaos.
And she wants to be the victim.
And she wants to be the victim. So the only way to, like, outsmart her would be to be really kind.
Yeah.
And then mind game her into like incriminating herself or lying.
But it's, but her, so Danielle's on this, like, she's so demure mm-hmm. and like speaking in this very soft, like almost like Angelina Jolie voice.
Yeah.
She's like,
she's fully United Nations.
She's, I was just gonna say, she's testifying at the fucking United Nations right yeah. now. And she's like on something, I think.
He said she's on Quaaludes. Well, I think she's just high on chaos.
But she's loving being the martyr, and she's having, well, Andy, that's not really what's... It's like she definitely saw how it was mm-hmm. looking and all this, you know what I mean?
And she tweaks accordingly. She's yeah. like Beyonce, mm-hmm. watching past footage yeah. and then being like, this needs tightening up, this needs tightening yeah. up. That's Danielle with totally. Her own craziness. And then Jacqueline starts weighing in, and I'm like, why are you even talking? You weren't there. No. Everything she does, she like pipes up to like talk about things that she never bore witness to.
Yeah.
So I'm like, shut the fuck up, Jacqueline.
Yeah, the whole episode is Jacqueline's sitting, like, she's like scooched forward, and she's going, no.
No.
That's not what I heard.
That's not what I heard. You yeah. were at the Shore House. Everyone said.
Everyone said.
Like, shut up.
Yeah.
And then there's a clip of, oh, wait, no. Teresa's kids overheard Danielle having sex.
Yeah.
Which, like, that would be traumatic.
She said Danielle was straddling Steve in front of her children. Well, back when they were friends.
Hate that.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
That is, like, gnarly.
No one needs to see that. I don't need to see that.
I don't need to see that.
Then we have the clip of all their mispronounced words.
Woman.
Woman. And in this moment, I had a thought, which is, what? Are Teresa and Danielle the same person at the end of the day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. That's why they're friends.
Yeah.
They're like best friends now.
And that's why they hate each other so much.
It's like when, who were we saying is like the same person? And that's why they hate each other.
Was it a Vanderpump Rules person?
Maybe.
Mm. So many people are the same, and that's why they hate each other.
Yeah. Now I'm forgetting. Fuck.
Well, you'll remember it. Yeah. You'll remember it. Danielle's confronted about her use of the word woman.
She goes, Andy goes, how do you... She goes, lots of people have been correcting me about it.
She goes, yeah, that's been pointed out to me.
That's been pointed out
to
me.
A lot.
And then he goes, how do you say it? And she goes,
the plural of woman is...
She goes, woman.
Then Teresa pipes up and she goes, well, I say sandwich.
Yeah, Teresa kind of defends her.
Yeah, and I was like, what? And then I was like, that's when I was like, confirm, they are the same person.
Yeah, and Danielle goes, we can have our own sort of language.
We're allowed to have our own languages. Okay. I say sandwich. And then Caroline goes, she does say sandwich.
She does. And then Andy wants to get the tea on like the first season reunion when Caroline alluded to something Danielle had done to Dina. And
oh,
Andy goes,
yeah.
That's the number one question that I had like from fans like wanting to know what happened last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then we cut back and Caroline goes, what you did was so vile.
You'll never be a friend of mine.
You'll never be a friend of mine. You're garbage. You're garbage.
And she's so, and we actually never find out.
Yeah.
Because.
Well, they say, well, Danielle tried to get Lexi taken away from Dina. And Danielle goes, she goes, apparently I tried to get her daughter taken away from her.
Well, I didn't know until now, but apparently I tried to have a daughter taken away from her.
She goes, that was another utter lie. And then Caroline goes, do not speak of my sister.
And then Jacqueline's like, didn't you put a silencer on Dina? And she goes, my attorneys may have, because she lied in a 4-page interview. And she kind of smiles. And then
a four-page interview of lies.
My attorneys might have. And then everyone fights. And then Caroline's like, don't even speak her name. Don't speak her name. She's not here. And then everyone argues about whether or not Danielle's legally allowed to like talk about Dina. But they asked her the question.
And then at one point, Caroline just randomly goes, welcome to my world. To Danielle. And then Danielle goes, she goes, I don't want to be part of your world, Caroline.
And she goes, that's the greatest gift you've ever given me.
Caroline is going ham.
Yeah, Caroline's out of control.
She's going, she is so ready to fuck Danielle up.
She just says, like, but, like, Caroline's version of fucking someone up is being, like, buckle up, sister. Yeah. We're in the rodeo now. Yeah. Like, just random empty threats.
You're in, like, the
tops. The OK Corral.
No, something with the mouse, the something mouse ride. She goes, I'm like this. Yeah, on the mousy ride, like, going up and down.
She doesn't even know what she's saying. Teresa and Jacqueline, I realized, both gave birth this season, which is kind of crazy. And there was a moment where Andy asked Danielle, why didn't she call Jacqueline? And Danielle goes, I was told in a publication to never come near her and her family.
Yeah.
And then Jacqueline's like, no, we like squashed the drama and you still didn't call. And then Danielle goes, congratulations, Jacqueline. Your son is beautiful and I really wish you all the best.
And then Teresa goes, she's sick. She didn't even go to Jacqueline. She's like, she can't even speak right. And then Danielle goes, what about you? Did you acknowledge your nephew?
And then Teresa loses it.
And she sits up and she goes, nah! And Andy tries to restrain. She leaps over at Danielle. She has like Mighty Mouse rage, like her Italian rage.
Yeah, she's gone full Momo.
And she's gone into beyond Momo.
Beyond Momo.
And Andy tries to restrain her and she shoves
him down into his chair.
Yeah.
And she has so much anger that I believe is just displaced.
Yeah.
Like, you're not that mad at this woman. Like,
well, it has to do with her brother, though.
Oh, really?
Well,
with Joe?
Well,
okay, we'll get there.
But she goes, and he's making this noise.
Nah! Don't you talk about my family! Don't break up my family!
And gets right in Danielle's face. Danielle's just sitting there, barely blinking.
She gets up like a brontosaurus and towers behind. You just see her sauntering behind. And she goes, she's a pig! She's a fucking whore! She's a fucking pig!
And then Danielle just like sashays off the set slowly with like a smile on her face being like, And then she goes backstage. Teresa is beyond control. She just keeps going, she is, and like,
she is,
like, we know, it's like, fine, don't worry about it. Danielle struts off, and then Teresa's hairstylist Daniel comes up.
Well, first Teresa, she goes,
who would even tell us something like that?
And then as we find out later, Melissa Gorga is the one that told Danielle.
Oh, so Danielle, this is about the christening.
This is about Gorga and Melissa Gorga and Teresa.
So Melissa Gorga said that when their nephew whose christening they have in season 3 was born, Teresa didn't call. And
No. That was
a different nephew.
Yes. This was the other son.
Okay.
There's two sons. He was a baby at this time, but
that Teresa never called when that happened.
So
because they were feuding.
Melissa knew that Danielle was having beef with Teresa, so she called Danielle and like spilled all this like dirt about Teresa to like get at Teresa. So Melissa actually was the one who caused this.
Oh my God.
Like, in a weird twist.
And then you see the rage about family stuff because
I mean, I think Teresa does have displaced anger, and I think she's so, like, in a hot...
Well, I think also a lot of it probably is anger at Joe that never get expressed, and so it comes out in, like, all these different places.
By picking on other women.
Yeah, by picking on other women, or just anyone that she knows, like, it's, like, low stakes to get angry at. Fuck.
But it's actually, it was Melissa, and then that comes up later, and Teresa's really pissed about it.
Oh, my God. Wow.
So...
The tangled webs we weave.
The Gorga-Judice feud knows no mercy.
That is one of the scariest and saddest family meltdowns is season 3, episode 1. I did actually watch that like live when it came out and was traumatized then and still...
I mean...
Still reeling.
Season 3 is pretty
insane. 3 is iconic. Just saying.
So then, Danielle goes backstage. Well, first, Teresa's hairdresser comes out, and he's this, like, middle-aged gay man.
Daniel. He looks kind of like Al Pacino.
Yeah. He's like, don't even give her that.
He just played into her. Like, what?
Played into her. And then we see Danielle backstage.
Then Danielle's backstage with her hairstylist.
And her girlfriend.
And her girlfriend. And then I love, like, Andy having to negotiate with Danielle.
Yeah.
Like, because he doesn't do that. Like, he won't go in and have conversations with people anymore that walk off. Like, now there's a PA for that. Or, like,
I mean,
a
I kind of understand why Danielle walked off.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, they just let Teresa get, like, up in her grill. And Teresa does come across as, like, extremely violent.
Yeah. And then this beautiful moment happened. Danielle's hairstylist is, like, this big gay guy. And he's, like, he starts crying at one point.
She goes, don't cry.
She goes, don't cry.
I'm okay.
She also has so much Botox.
So much Botox. She can't even really make a facial expression. And I love that, like, Teresa is also screaming at Andy, get her back out here, Andy. That chicken shit that she is.
Yeah.
She can't, like, yelling orders at your boss.
And then...
But they, Andy loves it.
Oh, he's smiling.
Yeah, like, later on, like, he does not like Danielle. I think you can tell. He's like...
He's over her.
Okay, like, we come back out here. And she's like, if she stands up, I'm leaving.
He goes,
he's like, okay.
Well, at one point, she threatens to leave again. He goes, you can't leave.
Yeah.
Because she's, like, contracted to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But then when she's backstage, she goes, I want Lori an ear and eye shot of me. She wants Lori to be, like... And then they say that Lori, like, almost...
ran for Teresa. Yeah. Someone had to hold her back.
Yeah.
I love that.
Lesbian anger.
That's
lesbian love. That's a Dale move.
That's why.
Yeah. That's you with Dale.
Me with Dale. If anyone tries to come for my girlfriend, my lover, Dale Mercer, they better watch their backs.
Better watch their necks. I love that. I want Lori an ear and eye shot of me.
And then Eric goes, let's think positively. Amazing things. Yeah, amazing things. Amazing things.
She goes, amazing things and new beginnings.
He goes,
I was like, oh my God.
It's like, you guys are really wild.
Yeah. I wrote Danielle's on opioids.
Andy sits down back with Teresa and he just is like, he goes, you are so strong. He's like laughing.
Yeah, he loves it.
He loves
it.
He's
like turned on.
And then he's like, just don't cross me. So basically, like, she can stand up and come to as far as he is to scream at anyone she wants.
Yeah.
She can't cross him. I love that.
And she's sitting there and she's like licking her lips and going.
She really it went beyond controllable anger to, like, just sputtering rage.
Well, that's because Danielle knew exactly where to hit her.
Mm-hmm. I love. What about you?
What about you? Did you acknowledge your nephew when he was born?
But I love that, like, break up my family. She's so angry about that.
Yeah. Because she's...
What happened with the Gorgas? Like, why were they so... Oh, because Joe...
Judice poisoned
their dad against... Joe Gorga.
But also Teresa's so jealous of Melissa.
Yeah.
She's younger and prettier.
Damn.
Right?
Yeah.
Or like just more youthful and like her husband isn't in.
And she's so close with her brother. They are like almost, they're like a little flowers in the attic.
Yeah.
Style.
She's like, no one will ever be good enough for my brother.
Mm-hmm.
It's like.
Except for me.
I'll take it.
Oh, man. Now I've got to start watching season 3.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean either.
And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique. Caroline goes, but when Caroline's talking about Lori Michaels charging for Teresa, she goes, well, then I looked over and I saw Danielle's partner come out of this curtain. She was going to go for Teresa, her partner.
Her partner.
I love also when Andy asks, like, are you with Lori? And Danielle's like, that's for you to decide. I'll let you come to that. And they all go, clearly she's with her.
Yeah, but then Jacqueline the whole time is like giggling, yeah, like laughing at these like lesbians. Yeah. I was like, Jacqueline, fuck off.
Yeah. Caroline's at least,
you lived
like,
in Vegas. Kinda, you've gotten your box munched by like some rando.
Well, Caroline has a gay brother who's married. Like, she's at least like,
at least being semi-respectful of it.
Yeah, Jacqueline's going, shut up. She's like,
what an idiot.
She's like, Jacqueline's like,
lesbian.
Lesbian.
Jacqueline is the kind of person that would like lesbian bully you,
but secretly want it.
Yeah. That comes out of a place of just like really wanting that, yeah, but never being able to get it.
Yeah.
So I don't actually think she's had her pussy eaten. I think that she has always just wanted that and probably quite frankly needs that.
Quite frankly, she needs it. When I was in seventh grade or sixth or seventh grade, this kid on my swim team who is fully like a queen, mm-hmm, he's so gay, grow up gay, love and light to him. I think he's living his best life somewhere, but he led this charge against me, like, and he told everyone I was gay and that I was like checking out boys in the locker room, and he led this like campaign against me, and everyone was like, he's gay, he's gay. And I was like, and I remember being, I mean,
it
like,
takes
okay,
one to
that's
no one, sweetie.
Yeah, I was like, okay, that's true, but also, are you fucking the source? Are we like, can yeah, we look at this like lighthouse of like,
totally,
yeah,
that happened to me in middle school too.
Really?
Yeah, I got pushed into a girl while we were playing basketball, and I just hugged her and was like, I love you. And then some other girl that was, I mean, not to be stereotyping, but way more dyke than I was was like, Lara's gay. Did you just hear that? Lara's a lesbian. And then everyone was like, you're a lesbian. And then there was a rumor going around school that I was a lesbian. And then even like my friend in a computer class, he was like, I heard that you're a lesbian. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, that's crap. I'm not a lesbian. I had to like fight to not be a lesbian.
Some crucible shit.
It was crazy. I was like, also you girls that all hang out that are calling me a lesbian, you guys are fucking lesbians.
Yeah, you all
play field hockey together. Lesbians.
I know.
Way I was more like, lesbian okay. than I am.
I was like, we're on a swim team right now. We're all wearing Speedos and like, look what's happening. Like, this guy is a huge.
Yeah, we like play all girl sports together. Like, stop.
I know. Yeah, that was. I was like,
why do kids in middle school, they're obsessed
he
with
was
that.
Older too. He was 2 years
they
older.
Were older too.
Yeah, he was like, and everyone was going, and I remember this
it was
one,
all the sixth grade girls that were like tall popular girls yeah. being like, Lara's a lesbian, and I was like, you guys literally finger each other. Like, yeah, I know that you do.
I remember this like older girl who was nice to me, like she felt bad at what was happening, and so she went to go like tell him to stop and like mm-hmm. mediate it, and then at one she went to go talk to him because they were really close.
Yeah, okay, good.
And then she came into the weight room because it was going on. It was a full like week of this.
Yeah, it lasts so
room.
Long.
I was in sixth grade and she came into the weight room and she gave me this look. She went like, she had just talked to him and she went like,
like heard, we know you're gay.
Heard about it.
Yeah.
You know, talked to him. And anyway.
Why were you gay according to him? He needed to point a finger
he
to
just,
like,
I mean, I
detract.
Think he just figured, he just sensed it. And also
takes one to know one.
But also like wanted to divert it away from him.
Yeah.
Like he was, but he said I was like looking at people in the locker room, and I was like in the locker room, and I saw him talking to some guys, and they were looking at me. I was like, oh my God.
You fully were witch hunted.
I was.
Well, I was too.
But then I saw him in a gay club in Philly, like when I was in college, and he came up to me and he apologized.
That's nice.
Yeah. He was a nice guy. He just at that point, I think, had like. But like, also, like, I have done that, like, we've all, like, I have been, like, someone's gay, too, before. Like,
yeah.
Like, I've done that. I, like, took that pain and put it on someone else at some point.
Yeah, and I'm sure maybe I still am, which is why I'm a why I podcast. But I never got an apology from those women.
Wait, you're still in trauma from it?
No. I mean, maybe. I don't know. Probably. It does come up in therapy every once in a while.
That's traumatizing.
It's traumatizing. I think when you're like, especially like
that middle school is
having questions about my sexuality and like parsing all that out and really being like, I felt really shamed in that moment. And like, because I had like thoughts about girls. And so they were hitting something that I wasn't even like fully comfortable with. So then it's like, oh my God, like I'm so gross.
No, I felt that I had the same thing. And also like, these girls wrote like a love note to me from this guy that I was like hanging out with who I like probably subconsciously liked.
Mm-hmm.
And then it fell out of my locker during locker cleanout.
No.
And everyone was, and then I remember this kid went, Carrie, are you gay? And I went, no. And then I wrote the name of a girl on my,
on your,
like binder. Like, I was like, no. It had, that shit is so real.
It's real. And
the
it's
Jacqueline's
like,
of the world.
The Jacqueline's of the world. Just like gay shaming.
Yeah.
I don't think kids these days have to deal with that as much.
I feel like it still happens.
Yeah.
Some places.
Readers weigh in. Children listening weigh in. Do you
all
have
the 12-year-olds that are listening to Sup?
All the fifth graders who are obsessed with Sup.
I don't think people say that's so gay anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like a whole thing of trauma that like queer people have to unpack who are our age. Like slowly, right? Like we went through that and like... We grew up thinking like that was like
a bad thing,
like equivalent to that's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Jacqueline.
It's all Jacqueline's fault.
No, but she is like, she was like, it's like,
Catty, like Danielle trying to joke about it.
That's what she wanted at that point.
Yeah.
I
am here for Danielle.
For her and Lori Michaels' relationship.
No, I love it.
I love it.
I love a bisexual butterfly.
Lori's so like.
Lori is a full straightened hair. Yeah,
cubbyhole.
Coming out right out. It's kind of an emo hairstyle.
Powerless.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Then we find out that Danielle introduced Jacqueline to her fertility doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And Danielle claims that she took Jacqueline to every appointment. And Jacqueline's like, no, you didn't. And then they argue about that. And I'm like, well, wouldn't Jacqueline just be the one that knows?
Yeah. It's like, that's not true.
That's not true. I was there with you at all. Lot of appointments. I was there every step of the way.
I recommended doctors. I talked to people for her. I was always there for her. It's like, no, you weren't.
No, you weren't.
Also, at one point.
Also, I love arguing about something that's like, it's like, that's not worth trying to fool people about.
Yeah, like revisionist history.
Yeah, it's so weird to me when people have that kind of argument.
I also love when Caroline was, when they were watching her kids play the ham game and like the recap, just like showing like Caroline's happy family. They cut to Danielle and Danielle is stone face. And Caroline goes, there's a lot of love in my house, unlike some people.
70% of people polled said they wanted Caroline as a mom, and 3% of people said they wanted Danielle.
My children can speak for themselves. You'll have to talk to my children.
And I wrote that Jilly and Christine were forced to participate in that poll, and they were the 3%.
And they're like sickly chihuahua.
Yeah, they made their chihuahua like put hand push, because Danielle was like, it's not fair if it's just the two of you. We need one more.
I always wanted one more.
And then we focus on Caroline.
Caroline said that Danielle's children don't have lights in their eyes.
Yeah.
Which I've said is it like, before and I'll say it again. I'm not ashamed.
I'll say it to a face that wasn't editing. I had said it. I stand by what I said.
Your children are beautiful, but they've got no lights beyond their eyes.
That's true.
It's fucking true.
That's like horrifically true.
Danielle's like, they're very happy girls.
I know their happiness and I know their unhappiness.
Yeah.
I was like, well, you then know a lot of their unhappiness.
Because you are their unhappiness.
Yeah.
And Jacqueline's like, really? They're happy? They don't leave school crying because people are bullying them about you?
Classic Jacqueline. Yeah. Also, I was like, how would you know? You literally don't have any kids in high school with these girls.
She knows.
She knows everything.
She's got a mole.
Jacqueline is like such a gossiper.
Jacqueline has like a teen mole.
Yeah. She probably has Ashley like do reconnaissance.
Ashley's like never been kissed.
She's like, Ashley, you're going back to school. We're Great. Finding the truth out about Danielle's daughters.
Awesome. Colby's so popular.
Yeah. And Ashley's like been in school.
Yeah.
As, like,
she's wearing
weirdo.
A wig.
She's wearing a full wig.
And glasses.
And like weird 80s makeup. And like fake braces.
And glasses.
And like she's actually the one that's bullying Danielle's yeah. daughters and then being like, they cry every day, mom. And it's literally because bully Ashley never been kissed wig yeah. crazy makeup version is like harassing them at school.
Danielle's like, yeah, she's like, you'll have to, my daughters will speak for, we are very close. They are happy girls.
And Caroline starts crying because it's talking about how Albie failed out of law school. And then at one point, Danielle goes, can you get her tissues?
Yeah.
Which I was like, okay, that's nice.
Supportive sister.
I think she likes Caroline.
Like, I think she respects
her.
And I think she was actually moved in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Can someone get her a tissue?
Can someone get her some tissues?
Yeah.
Caroline shaves her face all the way down to her chest.
She goes, my skin is soft. You can touch it. And I was like, this is like her Paris is burning. Like, touch this skin, darling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Caroline was just doing like Venus extravaganza. Like, you can feel it all if you want.
I have great skin. I have great skin.
Great skin.
I have great skin. She goes, I shave from here all the way down to here.
I swear by it.
It's exfoliating.
It's what I do. I'm my own person. I can do it if I want.
It's wild. I mean, you could also just buy some exfoliant and like.
Or go to a fucking facialist.
Yeah.
Go to the chateau. Go to
I love like a full blown rub some lotion on your face. I actually did shave my face once as like a younger person because I was like, I have this hair on my face. I don't want it there anymore. And I realized that that's a huge mistake.
We get razor burn.
Well, you just get like, then your hair is like spiky and it feels so weird. And I would like feel my mustache and it felt weird. And I was just like, why did I do this? Like, when will my face hair grow back?
Yeah.
So I just wouldn't recommend as a lady shaving your face. And even as a man, I'm glad that I am a woman because it seems like shaving your face can be a real trial and tribulation.
You get ingrown hair pimples. It's
How do you, I would get the worst ingrown hairs, I'm sure.
It's bad. I'm really bad at shaving, and I've been shaving for a while, and it's, I never do it right.
Well, you always look good to me.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I shaved my legs once, partially without water.
Ooh.
And it was...
big mistake.
Bad.
I didn't, I had to like secretly shave my legs because I wasn't allowed to through until like fifth or sixth grade. And like, I just desperately wanted to. So I found my dad's like girlfriend's razor, and then I didn't know how you were supposed to do it. So I just did it dry. And then I was like, weird. And then my skin was like very irritated. And then I was just like, that's interesting that that's all it's cracked up to be.
Did your dad's girlfriend like talk to you about it?
No, but then my mom saw one day we were coming back from church and like the sun hit my legs and she could see like stubble, and I got in so much trouble for really? Shaving my legs. Oh, I
coming
got
back from church, no less.
I had to write 1,000 sentences.
I will not shave my legs.
It was like, I will not go against what my mother said, like long sentences.
That's some Oklahoma discipline.
It was an Oklahoma discipline moment. Damn. And then I had to listen to like tapes by some Christian guy and then like write reports on them.
Whoa.
And then like a month later I was allowed to shave my legs. It's like all that.
And I never shaved my legs again.
And I've never shaved a single thing again. I'm the hairiest woman in Los Angeles.
You're like when Blair Witch, when they... that crazy woman in Blair Witch describes seeing the Blair Witch, and she's like, I saw this nude woman just completely covered in fur.
That's me. It was just me running away. That's when I ran away from home. I was sick of the rules when I ran all the way to the Maryland woods, and I hung out there for a while, terrorized some teens. I had a lot of displaced rage myself, so I took it out on Heather and her team of filmmakers.
Heather.
Then I returned back to Oklahoma and settled back into my regular life.
Love.
And now here I am.
Here I am.
Sorry, Heaths. Danielle is asked if she's a stage mom, and she says, well, I am living through my children's eyes.
Am I living? No, I'd say more through their eyes. I was like...
okay, not the thing
John
to say.
John Malkovich-ing them?
Also not the thing to say if like someone says they have no life in their eyes.
She also goes, I possess their bodies and I control their eyes. So in a way, yes.
In a way, yeah, I am living through them.
I am living through them because I truly possess their bodies. She's like Madame Blanc-ing them.
She is fully Blanc-ing
them. Or Helena Marcos-ing them.
They can't leave the house without like her permission.
Yeah.
Like, metaphysically they're stuck in that house. I also love the shots of Danielle's house with that little one of the little chihuahuas like scooting its ass just like across the room.
Her stanky house that smells like dog.
Her stanky house that smells like dog.
Also her like outdoor furniture that's indoors.
No. Gnarls.
Gnarls, Barkley. I don't know. She goes, I don't know if Gia has what it takes. I mean, not a supermodel. She's 4 foot tall.
And I have to say, she was very beautiful and did well at Fashion Week. And Teresa just goes,
I think she's aspiring to be, but right now she's 4 foot tall.
She's 8.
Literally, she's 8. It's not like she's reached her peak height.
Yeah. And she also goes, Christine gets recognized, yes, for the modeling, and now Jillie a little for the music. And everyone just like rolls their eyes.
I love to them go cutting back, and Jillian's like, I really don't want to perform for people.
You gotta do it.
You gotta do it. You kind of have to do it.
Teresa and her are the same person. You're so right.
They are the exact same.
They're both stage moms.
Two sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
Danielle denies saying Teresa's kids dress like dogs.
Oh, yeah, because she said...
I meant it as a compliment.
A message for Teresa.
She literally said... My kids wore crinoline and lace. My dogs wore leopard.
My dogs wore leopard.
Yeah. And then they're like, you meant that rudely. And she was like, I meant it how I meant it.
She's very Trumpian.
It's so Trumpian.
She's super Kellyanne.
And it drives them insane.
Yeah.
I love how much it drives them crazy. Gia speaks Italian.
Mm-hmm. Which
We knew it. We fucking knew it.
And he's like, are women on their monthly cycles not allowed to be...
Is that having your time of the month will ruin the sauce? And everyone nods. Caroline goes, mm-hmm.
You've all heard of this rumor? And they all go, yes.
And the wine, Teresa, and the wine.
It we applies stomp to
on
wine. It.
We stomp our own wine. Joe makes his own wine, and we stomp it, and it can't be around the wine. Then Gia at home watching, oh, Mamma Mia, oh, giving you up all the secrets. Oh,
no, you would keep the secrets in the family. It's the Italian thing.
It's the Italian way.
Oh, and she goes up to the tomato in the backyard, and she goes, oh, yeah. I'm so sorry. I roll you under the deck.
She goes, I bless you. I bless you. She does, like, she takes one of those little, like, those things in mass with, like, the smoke in it, and she walks through the garden like just doing with the incense back and forth.
Yeah. She goes, oh, and she goes, but now we put you under the patio, under the deck. And then she takes a little tarp out and she rolls it under and she ties it with, like,
she secures cap, it.
bungee cord.
She puts, like, a crucifix next to it. And then the full moon comes out and she takes a little, like, ukulele and she's like, when the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
And she Melania just, opens
the she's just goes, sing songs from the old country all night when someone tells the family secrets.
And then Melania opens the window and goes, hey, gee, shut the fuck up.
Trying to sleep in here, goddamn.
Trying
damn.
To sleep, goddamn. God damn. I got kindergarten tomorrow.
To we be up fucking 8 a.m. for kindergarten tomorrow. What you doing singing out here, Rafangu?
I'm presenting show and tell tomorrow. You fucking idiot. Get that shit out of here. That incense shit.
Shut then, the fuck up. It
and then Gabriella like starts rousing and she goes, no, you shut the fuck up. You get back in bed.
You don't even look at me, don't you fucking weirdo.
I'm not speaking to you right now.
Gabriella's like,
she climbs on the ceiling.
Yeah, she climbs the ceiling corner and looks back like Hereditary style. And she goes, yeah, that's right. Stay in that corner.
Stay in that corner, spider.
You're a freak.
Yeah, you like a little spider. Is Adriana long legs.
Getting a load of this?
Yeah.
Sister in the corner up there.
Yeah, you stay up there, Adriana. That's what you got. You're going to end up there if you act like her.
Yeah, you want to end up like that freak on a leash? Yeah.
Stay up there.
Adriana just flips her the bird with a baby hand.
Yeah.
She goes, a teeny tiny baby middle finger. She goes, yeah.
Yeah, she goes, spin tell your web, tell spider. More.
And then Adriana goes, like the, she flips.
She does
the Italian, like fangu. Under the chin. Fangu.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spin she goes, hey, that a girl.
Yeah, you stay up there and spin your web, spider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go hibernate for
go
winter.
Go hibernate. Go wrap your little flies.
Jesus. Just like a day in the life of the Giudice, the Giudice girls.
The Giudice girls.
Giudice. Though Andy reveals that Teresa is in $11 million bankruptcy, $100,000 worth of credit card debt, $20,000 at Bloomie's, Neiman, and Nordstrom.
Insane.
How do you even get in that much debt? Do you just, I don't understand.
I just don't think they knew how money worked, to be really honest. Like, I think.
But how can you open another credit card, like, at a store if you are $20,000 in the hole with another credit card?
Don't they want you to be in debt?
I mean, they can charge you a lot of interest and stuff, but I thought that, like, if you aren't paying off a credit card, or I guess you could make minimum payments but still have a balance. I mean, don't ask me. My credit score is, as we all are knowing, is slowly climbing back up.
I mean, I think Joe was obviously like probably had like fraudulent credit cards and like, I mean, I think they didn't know how money worked, but they were also criminals.
Yeah.
So they were like
2.6 mil mortgage, 5.8 mil of Joe's business investments, which that is the
insane.
Craziest part. $85,000 home repair, $12,000 fertility treatments, which was shocking.
Yeah, maybe they were trying again.
I thought that it was like Teresa just was getting preg and popping them out one by one, but maybe not.
Yeah.
But Teresa says it's incorrect.
That last part is incorrect.
I'll never have enough. That last part's incorrect. I can get pregnant, no problem.
Drop it ahead. I got the Italian thing.
Yeah, so
that's what the tomato in the yard is for.
Yeah, it literally is Teresa's pregnancy tomato. Mamma mia, she Mama wants mia. Another baby. Now I'm like needing to go research all the like ins and outs of the Giudice crime. Teresa feels like Joe was protecting her by not telling her about the money problems. I'm like,
And they all like agree. I'm like, guys,
they're like, the men should be in charge of the money.
No, he was deceiving her actively.
And that she went to work immediately after finding out.
Yeah.
Which I like, I love that. Jacqueline goes, she went to work immediately, appearances every night.
Well, also at this point, her book is on the New York Times bestselling list.
So she's making her own money.
Yeah. But I mean, he was totally deceiving her and completely fucking her.
Yeah.
Like he was implicating her, having her sign things. He was garbage.
Yeah.
As Caroline would say.
Garbage.
You garbage.
You garbage.
He was.
He was. He's the true garbage here.
He is. Not Danielle is like, not like
child's
him.
Play.
Yeah. Yeah.
Joe says he yawned and then fucking ran his car off the road, hit four trees and a pole, then took shots afterwards.
I like Danielle asking the real questions.
Yeah.
She goes, I find it hard to believe that you would proceed to get drunk after getting in an accident. And then they're all like, no. Caroline's like, I could see him doing that. I think he was shaken up.
Yeah, Caroline like...
I'm like, oh my God.
Just like a yes man in this situation. And then Hindi's like, so it's classified as a DUI. And then Teresa's like kind of, she shorts out and then she's like, yep.
Yeah.
Danielle, do you consider yourself a troublemaker?
She goes, I have moments, yeah. I have my moments.
She's so flirty.
She is. She's trying to seduce everyone.
I have my moments, yeah.
I have my moments. She basically admits to being a little bit of a villain, but she thinks, she goes, I think a lot of it is...
An act.
Edited.
She goes, I don't think I flaunt my sexuality. I think I become a character.
Yeah.
And then...
Caroline's like, she's like, maybe 1% of the editing changes us.
You blame it on editing? It's a cop out.
She goes, when you see me up there, my low points, my mistakes, my upsets, she goes, I own them. I was like, shut the fuck up.
Ugh, Caroline, so sanctimonious.
Go play the ham game.
Danielle met Danny through Frank Vincent, who was an actor on Sopranos.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and then that was in... And he was in Danny's movie.
Yeah.
And so then everyone's like, isn't Danny married? And then Jacqueline pipes up, he filed for divorce 2 weeks into taping.
Yeah.
Married.
He was. And Danielle goes,
imagine being that fucking annoying and up in everyone's biz to the point where Jacqueline is.
He was. And then Danielle goes, I don't know anything about that.
They go, did you have like an intimate relationship with him? And she's like, oh, no, Danny? No.
She goes, no, absolutely not. And she tries to like squint like, how could you even?
But it doesn't really come together. It's just more of like a weird Botox face.
She's like this. Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
No. And basically, she broke.
They like fully fucked like rabbits.
And she was friends with his
maybe
wife.
Maybe while they were married.
Yeah.
Yeah. God. She goes, we just filmed together.
Yeah.
We only filmed together.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Well, you do a lot of things on film with men. So. Sorry. Did I go a little bit Jacqueline Teresa there?
You were just making a
I'm just
easy
saying,
joke.
Like, yeah, it's a...
But
it's...
Andy was like, but you also said that he was the only person you could really, truly confide in. And she goes, while we were filming. I was like, what? So you were fully, like, actors on...
You acted.
Yeah.
And then somehow brought this guy into the... I mean, he was great TV. They
were
both great TV. Him. Yeah. You were also fully having sex.
Yeah.
Now Lori and Danielle are together. And then that's when she won't answer full on. She goes, if you need me to be in a relationship with her for you, you do the math. It's like, there's no like.
Yeah, she's like, I don't. She's like, the minute labels are put on something is when I check out.
I was like, yeah, that tracks.
I was like,
seems like you have commitment issues.
Yeah.
But I loved who she was like, I was celibate. I was like, I'm on a Danielle like life path where I've been celibate and maybe my next move is to just like fully get into a relationship with a woman.
Do it.
Because I was like, this is sounding familiar.
Yeah. And he's like, you said in a recent article that you were born again virgin. And Danielle goes, yes, I am. And the other woman.
She was past tense.
She goes, I was at a place in my life where I felt like any relationship I had wasn't fulfilling me in a spiritual way, so I decided to remove that part of my life. And I was like, all right.
Hey, more power to you.
I get it.
I love it.
Yeah.
And then Caroline goes, you've been Mr. Toad's wild freaking ride for 2 years.
Mr. Toad.
Mr. Toad's wild ride.
She goes, I'm like this. And she does a straight line with her hand. She goes, and you're like this, like a wavy.
You've been Mr. Toad's wild freaking ride for 2 years. I love it. Calling people Mr. Toad's Wild Ride is one of my favorite pastimes.
Yeah, it's iconic.
It's iconic.
And Danielle was just like, oh.
Caroline's rebuttal to Danielle. Also, Danielle basically saying, like, Caroline is, like, undesirable.
Yeah.
And then Caroline's like, I have a husband who loves me and children who love me.
She goes, I have a husband who loved me for who loves me for 26 years. And Danielle goes, and God bless. She said women wouldn't... Danielle had written a blog about... Because some women were writing in being like, how come Caroline shames you for being a stripper, but like didn't shame her son for like wanting to own a car wash and strip? And then Caroline goes, if you want to be a stripper, that's okay. If you want to be a prostitute, she goes... That's on you. You're doing that to yourself. And I was like,
you're doing it to yourself. You're not hurting anybody. Yeah, same thing with stripping. It's like, well, no, that's still logic ain't quite there yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm with Danielle on that one.
Oh, yeah. Team Staub.
But then Staub said that Caroline's just jealous and that no one would want to see her on stage, which was
so then
mean.
That's like, yeah. Then
and you can see the hurt in Caroline's
point
eyes.
Point removed. Yeah.
But she goes, I have a husband who loves me for 26 years.
I have a lot of love in my life.
And she goes, I'm allowed to have love in my life too, Caroline. You're not the only one. She goes, I have two daughters who love me. And Caroline goes, and like I said before, they're beautiful.
Then we find out that Danielle has another sex tape.
She's got two going around.
She's got two going around
either,
which is just shoddy business.
I think she acumen. Is.
She has to be, right?
Yeah.
You can't have a sex tape get released and then not get paid at all for it.
And Andy asks if any of the women have seen it, and all of them are like, no. And then Jacqueline goes, I did.
Well, a preview of it.
Someone sent me a preview of it. And apparently, then... There's this weird argument where Danielle denies it was filmed by a third party, even though it was.
Well, there was the sex tape that we...
There's a sex tape that she shot with Steve. Is that the one that you've seen?
It's like the POV of Steve. Like,
is that the one that you've seen? Wait, but... And so that's... You're sure that that one was Steve and that wasn't the other one?
I think it's Steve.
Okay.
Both.
But then in another sex tape, it was like literally shot by someone else. And then Danielle says it wasn't, but it is her in it. So then it's like another just mindfuck where you're like, what reality are you living in?
Because Jacqueline's like, the first one felt like two people who were in a relationship, like making a sex tape. She goes, you can't really see their faces, blah, blah. She goes, but the second one is clearly
like a bad porn.
A bad porn with like bad dialogue.
Mm-hmm. And then Danielle's like, no.
That's not how it was.
That is not how it was. And it's like, literally, there's like video evidence of this.
And Andy was like, so someone, he's like, the guy that filmed it, that was releasing it, came to you to basically blackmail you. And she's like, and I couldn't. She goes, and I didn't have the money to pay him. So he just released it.
Okay, like, that is like a full-blown lie.
That's a lie.
You shot a sex tape. You probably got paid in advance.
And it was released like through a studio.
Yeah, they said, we'll pay you like $5,000 to shoot this sex tape. They paid you, you shot it, and then
maybe
they
more.
Released it. Yeah. But that's like what Farrah did from Teen Mom.
With James Dean.
Mm-hmm. I didn't have the money.
I didn't have the money.
And then everyone is also like, how are you able to live the lifestyle that you have and like throw parties and stuff and get like legal bills together and you can't get it together and sell your house?
She goes... They call her out for Christine's birthday party. And she goes, people need to pay attention more. She goes, it was a charity for cystic fibrosis.
Everything was donated.
The only thing that wasn't was busing and security.
Jesus. Like, why cystic fibrosis? Wasn't it not necessarily CF in the episode?
Yeah.
We never found out what charity.
I love Danielle pay for busing.
I love bussing everyone in and out. Yeah. And then, of course, security.
Security.
She paid Danny with a hand job for his security.
And his security was holding a hammer.
Yeah. And stalking around going, the man's owes his garbage.
And scaring teens mm-hmm. and then offering them coke.
Threatening them. Breaking a teen's hand.
And then being like, want to go do a key bump in the bathroom?
Here, take this.
Take this.
Her daughters have never heard of her sex tape. And then she goes on to be like, my daughters do have a light in their eyes. And they were really disappointed to hear Caroline say that. And then Caroline's like, wait, you just said that they know about it. How do they know about it if you've never let them watch the show?
She goes, Christine's friends told her.
And then Danielle is like fully caught in a lie.
For sure.
And then everyone chimes in, and I was like, that's how you catch Staub in a lie.
Yeah.
You just have to play on her level and play her game for long
Ask
enough.
Ask her the question back.
Yeah, and keep asking her various questions. Yeah. She loves the attention. She wants a chance to be in the spotlight. And then she will show her cards.
And I think Caroline wised up to that through this taping and was like, okay, I know how to play
the Staub game.
The other two don't know how to do it.
Yeah, no, Teresa's far too emotional to play any sort of games, and Jacqueline's too annoying. She won't shut up long enough to like really observe and listen.
Yeah. And then
oh my god, and then the darkest part.
What?
Well, they talk about the fundraiser for the child with cancer.
I know.
And then they said, Caroline says that the dad was so upset at how the event went and was so upset by Danielle, like, turning it into bedlam.
Yeah.
And revealed that Danielle never donated any money after the fundraiser.
Danielle goes, I came there to present a check. And she goes, I went door to door and rounded up $6,000. And they're like, no, you didn't.
Danielle did not go door to door asking for money
and
for
Danielle
a child.
Is just fully lying. Continue. She's like, yes, I did.
She goes, they wanted me to present a check. And then they were like, no, they didn't.
Yeah. And Caroline goes, who do you think you are? Like, she goes, you would have had to pay like everyone else to get into that. And she goes, Caroline was like, you're not a celebrity.
Yeah.
And Danielle's acting like she was like a star.
Asked to show up. And then she showed up with like 10 gangsters who terrorized
all the other people.
Hell's Angels. And then truly caused chaos and insanity at a fundraiser for a baby with cancer.
Yeah. With like brain cancer.
With brain cancer. Then left. Without paying any money. I think the only person that gave them money was Kim G.
Kim G like pulled out like a mercy check for like 10 grand.
Yeah. I was like, then, here you go. Sorry.
Here you go. Sorry about that. She goes, sorry.
Sorry.
And then Danielle lowered herself to the table of the family and went, if I stay, things will happen. Like, terrified this family who's like
just literally living a nightmare life.
Living at a hospital.
Yeah. Their very existence is nightmarish on a day-to-day basis. And then Danielle decided to take the nightmare up to like truly unlivable hellscape by descending on their fundraiser for their dying baby. And like
with Hell's Angels.
And coked out Danny muttering to himself, walking around and being like insane.
And calling someone a faggot.
God.
But Danielle also,
I love not then leaving and never giving a cent to that person.
But I love
literally using that as just like your cameo, like wild moment.
But I love the image that like she's trick-or-treating, just walking up down the streets of Wayne.
I went door to door.
Can you imagine her like in the fall, like sunlight of a late afternoon, just with like an entourage of random, like Sue, that woman. Rapping on doors.
We're trying to raise money.
I'm asked to present a check for $6,000 and I'd like you to pay me now.
I love that she is asked to present a check, but the check is not of her own money.
No.
It would be money of other people.
That she begged
them for. Yeah. I'm like, none of this adds up.
None.
God. God love her.
God love her.
I went door to door.
I went door to door to gather money for the charity event where they were asked to present.
I can't wait for Kim G.
I know.
She's dressed like a full-blown person.
Yeah, they
showed
the preview
Carrie.
For next week, right?
Yeah. She's dressed like Princess Diana.
She is.
She's fully LARPing as Princess
Di. Lady Di.
Hi, Danielle.
Hi, Danielle.
I love that everyone calls Danielle Danielle.
Danielle.
Danielle. Well,
that's
Jersey for
that's
you.
That's Jersey for you. It, you know, it takes one to know one, and I might not be from North Jersey, but I know it's that's how they talk.
When will we get to Wayne?
Well, soon.
I need coronavirus to stay away from Jersey, stay away from New York, stay away from LA, and stay away from Chicago.
And you can still...
You can still buy tickets.
Buy tickets at LarsMarie.com
for all the live shows.
March 11th.
March 11th is
coming up,
almost
upon
us. 2 weeks. I'm so fucking excited.
At the Roxy Theater on Sunset Strip. It's going to be a great night. And then March 18th is in Chicago at the Sleeping Village.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be amazing too.
And then we will descend upon...
The city that never
Manhattan,
sleeps.
The city that never sleeps.
April 22nd at the Gramercy Theater.
For a night you'll never forget.
For an unforgettable night you'll never forget. But but everyone.
For a truly unforgettable night that you will never forget.
There are till.
Mary Brannigan
might make an appearance.
Mary Brannigan.
I have talked to Mary already, and she might be coming to one of the shows. So you have to just buy tickets to see which one she'll be at.
Mary Brannigan is my Tyler Durden.
Yes, totally.
It's like the end of Fight Club. I'm going to find out that I am actually Mary Brannigan.
You're going to be like in a knockdown fight with Mary in like a parking garage at like the Beverly Center.
Things will climax at the Beverly Center.
But tickets are, there's still some left, so you can go on LarsMarie.com.
Yeah.
LA people, get the fuck out there.
Get out there and make it happen.
Get out there and make it happen in the name of Maddie Brannigan.
In the name of Maddie Brannigan, buy your tickets, please.
And then you can follow me at eCario.
Follow Carrie. He's a great follow.
Thank you.
On Twitter and Instagram.
Thanks.
Follow me at Lars Marie. And that's about it.
Yeah. I'm excited for you to see some of the stuff we're coming out with.
Yeah.
Anyways,
love and light.
Love.
We'll
Bye.
See you soon.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.